Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, August 18, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Kamara is preaching. Her message is vanity, absurdity, meaninglessness, and vapor. The Bible lessons, both from the Old Testament, are Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 11, and Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 17.
Our second Old Testament is the written and spoken word of the text that the anthem was there. Some people go, wait, I thought the birds wrote this. No. Comes from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. For everything there is and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is, already has been. That which is to be, already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, wickedness was there as well. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for he has appointed a time for every matter and for every work. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of mystery, the great I am, who was and is to come, come be among us in this moment and in this place. Send your Holy Spirit, we ask, so that your Spirit might grant us wisdom, wisdom that comes from you, that helps us to live our lives the way you want us to live. Help us to hear and know your word this day. Amen. This is another one of these sermons on this occasional summer series we've been doing on wisdom. If you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about Proverbs, those wise sayings. And then the very next book in the Bible is this book of Ecclesiastes, this book about the vanity of vanities. There's quite a shift in tone from the two books. Proverbs, we got those straightforward advice. Diligently seek good. But evil comes for those who search for it. Or whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but whoever pursues evil will die. Well, in Ecclesiastes, in this very next book of wisdom, the author calls this, how do you say it in that card game? BS. Right? What do you mean that the righteousness get the good stuff and the evil get the bad stuff? And Ecclesiastes opens, wait. What do the righteous or the unrighteous gain from all of our work? And in the end, does it make any difference what anyone does? And so the book starts out with this phrase, it's all vanity of vanities. Before I get too much into the text, I want to back up and give you some biblical background on the book. So the name of the book is Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes is actually, it's not a Hebrew word, it's a Latin word. It's the Latin word from ecclesia, which in Latin is an assembly or sometimes a congregation. If you study ecclesiology, you're studying the history of the church, the gathering. And so the Ecclesiastes is the one who speaks to an ecclesia. So it's like the speaker in front of an assembly. In here it was translated teacher. In the Hebrew, the teacher is translated as Koheleth. So you might see that sometimes. It's like, it's one of those weird words, doesn't have a U. It's like Q-O-H-E-L-E-T-H. Teacher still isn't the same thing, but the Koheleth is the orator who speaks to the assembly. And although, like Proverbs, this book is attributed to Solomon, the son of David, and a king in Jerusalem, scholars look at the language of this book and think it has later authorship what was attributed to Solomon, because Solomon was known for his wisdom. Some scholars are also surprised that this made it into the Bible at all. Right? There are other books that didn't get sorted into what gets to be in the Bible, in the biblical canon, because this book is rather negative on God. Did you hear some of this? People question if God's goodness exists at all, or where God is in the world. And actually, there are a few places, including at the very end of Ecclesiastes, that scholars think somebody wanted to help the author out, and they stuck in something a little more positive about God at the end. So what is this vanity of vanities? The book of Ecclesiastes uses this phrase 25 times in 12 chapters. It's kind of the theme of the whole book. The Hebrew word for vanity is hevel. And the repetition of it gives it greater emphasis. So we have the Holy of Holies, which is the holy of the holiest places. This is the vanity of the vanities. It is vanity to the nth degree. Everything is vanity. Everything is hevel. But what is this hevel thing? So hevel literally means breath. And so another translation might be, everything is just breath or mere breath. But that's the literal meaning. It seems to have a little bit more to this. And so, and vanity doesn't really seem to be the right word either. Like, I think about vanity and I think about looking in the mirror. You're like, oh, look. Like, how's my hair today? Right? But that's, I don't think that's really what hevel means for us today either. So other translations have tried, is it like absurdity? But like absurd, when I think of something absurd, I think that's funny. And it's like, no, we're not talking about funny thing here. Futility? All of life is futile? Maybe. Or meaningless. But meaningless to me, that's almost too strong. Like, all of life is meaningless? Like, are we going to be that depressing about all of this? Eugene Peterson translated it as smoke. All of life is smoke or vapor. And so you'll notice that the title of my sermon today was trying to be like, well, it's vanity and it's vapor and it's meaningless. It's fleeting. And so I'm wondering if this Hevel is closer to the idea that life as we know it is not quite as solid and predictable and reliable as maybe we thought. So maybe that's a sense of fleetingness or its breath. Breath is always in motion. So if the sense of Hevel is it's like breath and it's in motion, the author might have a point then, because for every time there is a season. And there are some seasons in our lives where life marches on in an orderly, fair, nice, and predictable manner. But then there are seasons of our life where that does not happen. One moment you're at a festival and the next moment shots ring out. At one moment a city is safe and then a huge tsunami wave rises up and demolishes an entire town. One day you think you're secure and at the end of the day the company you work for hands you a pink slip and a cardboard box and says, please pack up your personal belongings and all your loyalty and hard work and plans for promotion are not rewarded. One day you're on the freeway and the next moment some other driver in another lane has a momentary lapse of attention and in a second, you can have a huge pileup. It is not even a lapse of attention, it's a blown tire. It's something the person had no control over. We've been there. One moment everything is okay, and in the very next exhale, it's not. Because life does change that fast. So Ecclesiastes, I believe, is a book for those who are seeking wisdom when the Proverbs, the neat and tidy orderly wisdom, isn't going to cut it. Ecclesiastes is a book that says, we get that Proverbs does not give us satisfactory answers all the time. And we still want to seek wisdom. But it's the wisdom in the midst of those days or years or moments when humans have asked for centuries and we continue to ask today, why? What's the point of life? Why me? Does all life make sense at all? Ecclesiastes is a book of the Bible that is honest in its articulation that we've all felt when our understanding does not fit into neat categories, when everything has been turned upside down. I invite you to perhaps remember a time. Maybe you're in that time or season right now. And hear some of these words from Ecclesiastes 1 again as they've been paraphrased in the message. These are the words of the quester. Smoke, nothing but smoke. There's nothing to anything. It's all smoke. What is there to show for a lifetime of work, a lifetime of working your fingers to the bone? The wind blows south, the wind blows north, around and around and around it blows, blowing this way, then that. The whirling, erratic wind. What was will be again. What has happened will happen again. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Does someone cry out, hey, this is new? Don't get excited. It's the same old story. That's a lot of Hevel. That's a lot of things that are fleeting. And yeah, maybe a bit absurd. Maybe absurd does get a little bit of credit here. So then what is the wisdom that the author of Ecclesiastes would point to? Well, in chapter 3, there are those words about there are many seasons. with a recognition that there are seasons to love and seasons to hate, and that all of those are under our world and under God's auspices. And you know that. But I wanted to keep going a bit after those famous words, because there's the nice poetic part, but it still goes back to the question. So what have workers to gain from our toil? What is the point of all this busyness? Verse 12, I know that there's nothing better for them than to be happy and to enjoy themselves as long as they live. This is kind of that King James, right? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. That's where this sentiment comes from. Wait, really? We're supposed to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die? Well, in Ecclesiastes, if everything is vapor, if everything is smoke, then the orator says, well, then how do you process, how do you go forward in the middle of that? And perhaps some of it is you keep eating, you keep drinking, you keep going on in life. For yes, life, as confusing as it is, continues to flow. Even when it doesn't make sense, the sun still rises in the morning, and you think you still got to get out of bed, even if you don't know what's going to happen, or even if you think that yesterday will be the same as today. For in each moment, it is a breath. But each breath counts for something. It just doesn't count for very long. It got me wondering that one of the other ways to understand hevel, this breath, this vapor, is flavor. I mean, how long does flavor last on your tongue? Can you taste the coffee that you drank this morning now? Maybe, if you're a coffee drinker. Can you taste what you ate last night for dinner or your toothpaste flavor? No, it was there at the moment. It was really strong in that moment. But is it with you now? Not really. Because flavor is fleeting. Flavor is hevel. But I gotta say that flavor is not meaningless, right? We've had a good meal. Flavor isn't meaningless. It just means it doesn't last. It can be very present in that moment of savory or deliciousness or even bitterness. And so perhaps I wonder this morning if the best way we might access the wisdom of hevel is not just through our words and our minds, but through our sense of taste. So part of my sermon this morning, you all get to taste the word of God this morning. So I'm passing these out. This is not as official as communion, but I'm going to invite you to take something to taste. In these baskets, there are dark Ghirardelli chocolate chips and Andes mints and organic tiny cherry tomatoes. I invite you to take one, or if you're adventurous, you can take all three. I invite you to take one of these things to taste. Don't eat it yet. Hold on to it for a moment. You might have to stand up and pass the basket around and back. We'll make sure Ellie gets one, kind of thing. I told my daughter this morning that we're going to eat chocolate in church, and she's like, I'm coming. Right? How often do you get to eat chocolate in church? But, right, chocolate is a gift from God. Right? It comes from the cacao bean. It was grown. It was harvested. It got to us, right? And I'm not going to say that chocolate is meaningless. There are times that chocolate is quite meaningful, right? But it doesn't last, right? But I think there's some wisdom in slowing down and paying attention to the moment that it is there. Oh, good. There's enough chocolate left for me. Okay. And that God has given us the gift of senses and the gift of taste, I think in order to try to understand this wisdom that's coming from Ecclesiastes, that's coming from Koheleth. Here, I've got another basket. We'll get these guys in the back. All right. So if you've got a mint, you probably need to unwrap it. Right? The other things are already fine. I'm just going to invite us in this sense of Ecclesiastes wisdom to go ahead and hold what you got, maybe smell it. Right? Maybe look at what color it is. Maybe remember the last time you had this or something really similar. And then I invite you, go ahead and eat it. But don't just like swallow it, right? Eat it, let it spread out a little bit in your mouth. Notice its texture. Notice your emotions as you eat it. How would you even describe this? Notice that the flavor changes over time, that your first bite is not the same as it is now. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in God."
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.